Hi, Pastor Brandon here with our readings for Monday, February 24th, 2020. Today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 30, 1 through 5, Exodus 1, 1, 2 through 10, and Matthew 18, 15 through 35. First, Psalm 30, 1 through 5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Exodus 1, 1, 2 through 10. These are the names of the son of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died, and all his brothers in all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, and made their lives bitter with hard service and mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and let the male children live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with bitum and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Matthew 18:15-35. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the word of the Lord in our readings for Monday, February 24th, 2020. There was a lot of things we can draw out of this, especially in this Matthew passage. This passage that really is just about reconciliation, the importance of reconciliation. When we talk about the brothers who sins against you, you know, you go to him first alone. You don't gather your people, the villagers, with their torches and pitchforks to chase down Frankenstein's monster. No, you go to him alone. And it says, when they don't listen to you, you take one or two others along with you to help mediate, to help establish this evidence, as it so says, that they would be able to say, I don't know if there was a wrong here, or you need to listen to him because you shouldn't have done what you did. But you bring, in a sense, one to two others along with you. And the point here is that we wouldn't bring people who are just going to be automatically on our side. And that's typically what most would consider doing. It's like, okay, so I'm going to go get my spouse, and maybe I'll go get my brother or my sister, because, you know, I know they'll take my side. No, you get one to two impartial people to come along and help you and your brother work this out, to help you work through this so that there wouldn't be division in God's body. If he refuses to listen to them, that's when you bring it to the church. And this is what I find the most fascinating. Because he says, if he refuses to listen even to the church, Jesus says, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And we have to ask, whose gospel is this? Whose gospel is this found in? It's found in Matthew's gospel. What was Matthew? He was a tax collector. How did Jesus treat Matthew? This passage is all about reconciliation. It's all about forgiveness as we get into the parable of the unforgiving servant. Peter saying, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? I'm sure Peter was just kind of pulling on his coat with pride. You know, I would forgive someone seven times, Jesus. And Jesus replies, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Some translations translate this to 70 times seven. And the point here is there is no limit to forgiveness. There is no limit in which we can count enough wrongs where we cannot forgive our brother. And he tells us the parable of the unforgiving servant to show this point. And teaches us this, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiveness is an interesting thing. It means to no longer hold the wrong over someone. It means to no longer treat them differently because of the wrong they have committed to you. And it's commanded to us by our Lord because he forgives us. And he doesn't hold the wrongs we have done to him and others over us. Rather, he reconciles us to himself in relationship. And he commands us to do the same to others, even when they won't accept the fact that they've done us wrong. We're to treat them as a Gentile or a tax collector, to treat them as he treated Matthew, and that was with love, mercy, and kindness. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen. 'Cause you will seek me.